One Sunday morning, a young boy stood staring at a plaque hanging in the church lobby. The pastor noticed that he'd been standing there for some time, so he decided to quietly walk up beside him and just stand there. On the plaque was a list of names, and beside each name was a small American flag mounted on each side. Finally, the young boy spoke up. He said, "Pastor, what is this?" He said, "Well, son, this is a memorial of the men and women who died in the service." The young man's lips started to quiver. He became visibly upset. He said, "Pastor, which service? The 10 or the 11:30? I thought that was good. Hey, I want you to know that we had hundreds of people serving in over 6 services last weekend, and we didn't lose one of them. You can applaud that. Can we take just a moment to thank the hundreds of people that served last weekend and serve every weekend here? They are driving carts, they are serving coffee, they are doing first aid, they're running cameras, they're all over this place serving communion. Can we just take a moment and thank all of the folks who serve in this place? It would be a grave understatement to say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. We could not do it without you. If you are here with us this weekend, maybe last weekend was your first weekend with us and you came back, welcome back. We are glad that you're here. Maybe this is your first time with us. Maybe you are tuning in online or watching from literally all around the world. Or if you're here on campus with us today, we want you to know that we're grateful that you're here. It was after the last service last weekend, a couple came up and wanted to talk with me. And they wanted to let me know. I found out that they were visiting from California. And they were here because their son had been critically injured in an accident that week. And they were here with us. And here's what they said to me. They said, these services, they came to the Good Friday service and then the Easter service. They said, these services have made an unbearable week bearable. That's why we do what we do. Circumstances in life change. They are so unpredictable, and life can shake us. You don't need me to tell you that. But I would like to tell you that when we place our hope in the bedrock, when it is anchored in the bedrock of God's promises, our hope, it becomes unshakable. And so if this is your first time with us, we would like to catch you up. Church, would you help me with this? Okay, all right, we'll go with that. We have a declaration of hope. So if you've been with us, you know how to do this. If you will sit up straight and fill your lungs with air and your hearts with hope, we're going to proclaim our declaration of hope. Why? Because someone around you might just could use the encouragement today. Let's read this together. We are building our lives on the promises of God. Because His word is unbreakable, our hope is unshakable. We do not stand on the problems of life or the pain in life. We stand on the great and precious promises of God. And so, Father, we come to you thanking you that you are not only a promise maker, you are a promise keeper. You have kept every promise that you have ever made to us. Father, we thank you as life can become unpredictable and it can shake. We thank you for the firm ground that we can stand on, your promises that do not shake. Father, could we hear you more clearly today than we have in the past? Could we see you? As we gaze upon your Son, could we see you and know you better? And as we gaze upon your Son, could we see and know ourselves better? This is our prayer in Jesus' name. And all those who agreed said, Amen. Amen. Amanda Todd, a Canadian teenager who became a reluctant spokesperson for unbelievable despair. It started in the 7th grade, and she was on a message board when somebody asked her to post an inappropriate picture of herself. She complied. This wasn't just any person. This was an online predator. And you know how the story goes. The picture that was supposed to be private became public. And so did her humiliation. It followed her everywhere she went. She lost friends. She tried to run from it. She moved schools. Her family even moved towns. But everywhere that they went, the mockery would follow. She turned to drugs, alcohol. She cut herself repeatedly. She even drank a bottle of bleach, trying to end her own life, just trying to end the pain. She posted a 9-minute video on YouTube. Card after card, she told her horrific story. She said, "I need help. I have no one. My name is Amanda Todd." 2 days after posting that video, she made another attempt at suicide. Only this time she would succeed. Amanda searched for a reason to live, and she could not find one. That kind of hopelessness, that kind of despair is hard to imagine. But maybe you can. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you are there. Maybe you've never considered hurting yourself, but you've just come to learn that life hurts. Overwhelmed by what life brings, anxiety, depression, grief, sadness. And we can't help but wonder, does God have a promise for someone like me? As a matter of fact, he does. Would you listen to this promise from our God? Psalm 30, verse 5. "Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning." Now, have you ever experienced the truth of that promise in your life? That weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning? Mary Magdalene sure did. Could we take just a moment and take a deeper look at her life to see what it might have to say for us? If you have your Bibles, would you turn them open to John chapter 20? We are going to begin in verse 1. You can just leave the Gospel of John open there in chapter 20. We'll be coming back to it many times. Listen to this in verse 1. "On the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance." Now, let's just stop right there. Pause for a moment. John is very specific. He wants us to know that this is not only the first day of the week, but the dawn has not yet broken. He says, while it was still dark. Mary's dark morning was about to become even darker as she realized that not only had the stone been rolled away, but that the tomb was empty. You say, now hold on a second. I thought an empty tomb was actually good news. Not for Mary. You have to remember, Mary did not go to the tomb that morning to find a resurrected Jesus. Mary expected a dead man to do what dead men do best. Stay dead. Maybe you heard the story about the three men who died and went to heaven, and the angel asked them, "What would you like for someone to say at your funeral?" The first man said, "I think I would like to hear someone say he was the greatest doctor of all time." Second man spoke up and he said, "I think I would like to hear them say he was a great teacher, and he believed that the children were the future." The third man thought about it. He said, "I think I would like to hear them say, 'Look, he's moving.'" I thought that was good. We know that's not the way it works. We assume that a dead man will stay dead. And Mary did too. Don't forget, she was there. She was there when he was crucified. For 3 hours, Mary watched Jesus hang on that cross. For 3 hours, she watched him struggle to breathe. She watched him take his final breath. She saw the spear go into his side and the blood pour out down his body and spill onto the ground. She was there when they took him off the cross, when they laid him in the tomb. She was there. So no, I don't believe it was hope that led Mary to the tomb that day. I believe it was love. I believe that Mary wanted to show love to the one who had given her hope. Now, we don't know a lot about Mary's life, but what we do, we know from places like Luke chapter 8. We listen to this. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Now, this is significant. 7 demons. In Scripture, the number 7, it means complete. Now, we don't know what affliction Mary had in her life. It could have been severe anxiety or depression. But we know it was severe. We know it was complete. We know it was completely debilitating in her life. I can't imagine Mary having a lot of friends. I can't imagine her being somewhat of a loner. Some have speculated that Mary was a prostitute. There's no biblical evidence for that. But what we do know is that hope was in short supply in Mary's life until she met Jesus. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. And joy came to Mary in just a moment when Jesus healed her of 7 demons. She was made whole. She was delivered from the bondage. How did she respond? Well, she devoted her life to Jesus. And not only Mary, but a couple other women, we know from other places in the Gospels, Susanna and Joanna. These women, they not only traveled with Jesus and the apostles, but get this, they supported them financially. They were women of means. You know, I think in light of a Me Too movement, in light of a Me Too world, it's important to point out that Jesus is our prime example of how women are to be honored. Jesus always gave high value to women in a culture where they were not valued. Now, Jesus has always been for women, and he's always been against the men who would abuse them. He gave high value to them. They traveled with him. Mary devoted her life to him. You see, Mary experienced true love. Through Jesus, she experienced the true love of the Father. I believe it was love that led Mary to the tomb that day. I can't imagine her having any tears left to cry. But as we pick up in verse 11, we find Mary at the tomb, and she's weeping. Let's read together. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw 2 angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Now, I want to, for just a second, think about what happened in that second. That second, that moment that it took for Mary to turn from the angels to turn around and see Jesus. In 1 second, BC became AD. In just a second, hope not only returned to Mary, joy not only came to Mary, but it came to the entire world, those who would have come before and those who would come after. Joy came in the morning. Mary is overjoyed to the point where she embraces Jesus. How do we know? Well, let's keep reading. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. Don't you just love that picture? Mary didn't have to take a moment. "Oh, Jesus, just give me a moment. Let me think about this." No, she didn't do that. She did not need an altar call. She didn't have to think, "What would this cost me? Could I be arrested?" Well, of course she could have been arrested. She could have been killed just as Jesus had, right before her very eyes. There was no thinking. There was no walking. There was only running. And if there was any crying at this point, it was crying only tears of joy, because joy had come to Mary in the morning. She simply receives Jesus. And you can too. As we look at Mary's life, I believe Mary encourages us to do as she did. Number one, to receive the call. I love the moment where Jesus calls to her by name. Mary. You know, he knows your name too. Don't you believe the lie that God has forgotten you. He knows you. He knows your name. Isaiah 49 verse 16 tells us that your name, my name, written on his hand, engraved on his hand. You know how sometimes people write things on their hands so that they don't forget? Your name is written on the hand of God. He has not forgotten you. He has not forgotten your name. And you know what else? He has not forgotten your tears. He has not forgotten your sorrow. Look at this from Psalm 56. "You keep track," the psalmist says, "of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. My enemies will retreat when I call to you for help. This I know, that God is on my side. I praise God for what he has promised. Yes, I praise the Lord for what he has promised. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning." Mary not only receives the call, she also receives the mission. Mary was the first missionary to share the good news. She goes to the apostles. Where are they? Well, they're holed up in a room with the doors locked. But Mary understands that she has been delivered to deliver a message. Oh, please don't miss this. How tragic it would be for us, like Mary, to be freed, to be delivered from the bondage of sin, only to miss our mission. You say, well, what is our mission? Well, it's the same as Mary's. Jesus said to Mary, go and tell the message, he is risen. We too have been given a mission. I want you to see that in the midst of Mary's sadness, Christ propels her to purpose. It is purpose in life that gives Mary joy. And Jesus has given us purpose in life as well. Mary not only receives the call, she not only receives the mission, but I want you to notice that Mary receives the promise. What is the promise? Well, let's look at this from John 20, verses 21 and 22. When Jesus comes to the apostles, he appears to them. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. What is the promise? It is the promise of the Holy Spirit. You see, Christ still comes to us through the power of the Holy Spirit within us. It is the Holy Spirit within us, Christ within us, that is our hope of glory. It is our pathway to joy. Amanda Todd couldn't see it, but can I tell you about someone who did? This past week, I found myself watching the live stream of a service. The service was being led by my good friend, Mark. Mark is an exceptional worship leader, so you would not be surprised that his voice was strong, and so was his spirit. What you might not know is that this wasn't just any service. Mark was leading what he called a celebration service for a 17-year-old daughter who was tragically killed in a car accident just a few days ago. Mark is leading them in worship, this large gathering, as I'm just glued to my screen as he sings, God is so good. With all creation, I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. At one point, I could tell that Mark could tell that the large gathering was struggling. And he paused as he took his hands off of the keys, the piano that he was playing, and he stopped the music, made a half turn on the piano bench to address the audience, and he said, I get it. I know it's hard. He said, it's easy to worship when things are good. It's easy to worship when things are going the way that you want them to. And then he said something that I will never forget. He said, but if worship ever mattered, it matters now. Now, how does a father find the strength to continue to seek God in such great grief and sadness? It is only through the power of the Holy Spirit. Only through the power of Christ within him could he say those things. You know, he could have blamed God. He could have said, God, you did this. But instead, he turned to praise. He found strength. He is finding joy coming to him. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. Mary found it. My friend Mark found it. You know, as I was listening, I couldn't help. This scripture came to my mind, and I felt like it was just coming to life right in front of me. I love this from the New Living Translation. Listen to this in Lamentations 3. I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who depend on him, to those who search for him. Can I ask you, are you searching? Maybe you're searching for hope. Maybe you're searching for joy. And this news about a man who arose from the grave, maybe it sounds like nonsense to you. You know, it sounded like nonsense to Mary before she came face to face with Jesus. It sounded like nonsense to the apostles when Mary was delivering this message to them. But they continued to seek, even through sadness, even as they struggled to believe. They still sought. I want to ask you a question that Jesus asked Mary. Who are you looking for? Who are you looking for? Is it a boyfriend that you're looking for to bring joy into your life? Is it a husband or a wife? Is it a circumstance? Is it a job? Is it relief from a sickness or disease? Who are you looking for? You know, sometimes joy comes in the morning through healing. But joy always comes through a person. And that person is, it's only Jesus. Only Jesus Christ can bring joy in the morning. Do as Mary did. Receive the call. Receive the mission. And receive the promise. You know, a message like this, you may think, has come to you at the perfect time. Or you may be thinking, you know, life is good. If you don't need this message today, I want to encourage you to file this promise away somewhere, because if you don't need it today, you will. It's just the way life is. Weeping may last through the night, but when it does, hang on to this promise from God. Joy will come in the morning. And all those who agreed said, amen. Father, we thank you to be able to stand firm on your promises. Oh, you know how circumstances can change so quickly, so unpredictable. Life can shake, but Father, we look to you for unshakable hope. Father, we look for courage to seek you, to continue to seek through our sadness and our grief. Father, we thank you that you know us. You know our name. You know every tear. You hold it in your hand. Father, we thank you for your promises and the truth and the joy that comes through Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.